3, and this morning at least, we're gonna just move right ahead a little bit in the book of Colossians. I didn't check this out with my wife before this morning, but I decided a long time ago we're going to do this and talk about it and then see where the chips fall. This may be my last Christmas here. I don't know. Anyway, so we've talked about in the book of Colossians really that Christ is sufficient. He is sufficient. Paul would write to the Colossians and say that we need the peace of Christ in our heart. We need the word of Christ in our mind. And today, we're going to be talking about the presence of Christ in our home. And I know that when we talk about this subject, we are living in a culture. We are living in within our Western culture, but I think around the world, there will be those who do not see, they don't honor the Word of God and kind of have their own way of living and their own way of making life work inside the walls of their home. And so that's where we want to land this morning. I think we should think about two things when we think about that. One is the word thermostat, and the other is the word thermometer, okay? And a thermostat, the way I understand it, is that you set the thermostat, and the thermostat controls what goes on around you. So if the furnace kicks on or kicks off, or if the AC kicks on, the thermostat regulates the temperature in a room. And I believe that the church needs to be a thermostat in our culture, okay? The opposite word is the word thermometer, and that is that if the culture says this, then that's where I go. And if the culture says this, that's where I go. So we go up and down depending on the pull of culture. And so I think that's the dilemma that we have. That's the issue that we face, even in our home, even in the marriage relationship. So we want to address that today. For some reason, under the inspiration of the Word of God, Paul addresses wives first. So if you are a wife, if you are going to be a wife someday, this is really important information for you, I think, because this is God's design for you. So Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them." I'll stop there because he goes on to talk about children and he talks about parents, fathers. But this morning I thought, well, we've got enough to tackle when we talk about wives submitting to their husbands. Believe me. So so I think you probably heard the joke about the two lines in heaven and trying to get into heaven, and there was a big long line with a whole bunch of people. And it was, anyway, there was just one guy sitting over there waiting to get in, and they asked him why he was in that line. He says, "My wife told me to stand over here." So anyway, not funny. So before we begin to talk about this, though, I think we have to address a couple of questions, all right? And I think this is more important. We kind of joke about it and everything, but I believe this is really important. So we begin, when we talk about submission in the home, we begin with Christ. We have to begin with Christ. He is our example. He is our model. He is the one that we follow. And so he didn't just sit on the throne in heaven and say, this is how I want your homes to be like. It says in Philippians chapter 2 that we need to have the same attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. So we start with Christ, who submitted to the will of his Father. And he did that in order to accomplish God's plan of redemption. And he humbled himself in obedience, didn't he? So when we talk about this, Christ didn't grasp equality with God, but it says he emptied himself. He veiled his glorious divine power. He took the form of a slave, as a bondservant, and by becoming fully human, he was made in the likeness of men in the incarnation. He humbled himself in obedience unto death. He humbled himself in obedience to death, submitting to God's plan. And Christ, even then, accepted the most humiliating, shameful kind of death, which was crucifixion on a cross. So he is our supreme example. Now so he is the model for every believer. He is the standard for every believer. He is the pattern for every believer. And so if there's anything we learn from Christ, it is unselfishness. That's Jesus, unselfish. He was not a narcissist. He was not all about himself. He was not all about getting the benefit of life. But he lived, he ministered, he served, and he died for the sake of sinners. It's really important that we start there. So whatever we discovered this morning about God's order for our home, we have to begin with Christ. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, okay. Just seeing if you're awake. All right. So, but here's the problem. And this is, maybe you've heard this argument before, and it's one that will come up when we talk about the relationship between a husband and a wife in the home. And we say, well, it's a 50-50 thing, right? Or 100%, 100%. That's how it works together. And the way that it is defended, I guess you could say, from Scripture is Ephesians 5:17 says, "So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." There it is. Amen. It's mutual. We both are to be subject to one another, and that's what marriage is, and that's how it works. Well, I suppose if you agree about everything, if you have the same agreement, you just, you know, how you spend your money, or how much time you spent hunting, or, you know, fishing, or shopping. Sorry, ladies, I wanted to just go ahead and... So if you agree on everything, of course. Yeah, we it's a 50-50 deal. It's 100%, 100%. So I would like to have two wives, volunteers, to come up here for just a second, and we're going to role play something, okay? So don't worry, you're not going to get embarrassed. Carla, you'd be great up here. So I knew she was sitting there for a reason. So who will take the man side over here? No, Rod, you need to stand with her. Sorry.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Nah, you were pushing her up here, so.
This is rigged.
No. Okay. So what I want to do, we're going to go with you guys. So I'm going to ask Carla for you to submit to Rod, to your husband, okay, as he directs you to walk over there and head toward the conference room, okay? He's going to tell you to go toward the conference room, and I want you to be submissive to him, okay? And then, Rod, I want you to submit to Carla as she tells you to go out that back door toward the foyer, okay? You got it? You need to submit to her because she wants you to go over there, and you need to submit to him because he wants you to go over there, okay? Let's see how it works. Go.
Carla, will you please walk over through that door that has an exit sign above it?
Well, but you...
Oh, but I have to tell him again.
Yeah, you have to tell him what to do.
Honey, would you please go out that door?
Which door?
Just walk back there, make a right, and go out that back door. Please?
Okay.
Thanks.
Oh, that... I don't know if that worked real well. Thank you. That's good enough, you guys. You can come back. Sorry. I think the idea is sometimes...
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. And I'm fired, I know. All right. So that's kind of an experiment in mutual submission. It does not work sometimes. And so that's one argument. But the other thing I wanted to tell you is that we might use that verse in Ephesians to say, well, and there it is in the Word of God, submit to one another in the fear of Christ. That's good enough for me. That's how we're going to get married. That's how we're going to live. That's how we're going to make decisions. We're just going to always, there's no order. There's no, hierarchy here at all. In plain English. So, and I just want, first of all, to say that if you're a man, if you're the husband in your relationship, God has some very strong and clear commandments for you in the marriage relationship. So one of the most, in my mind, the most despicable things is to watch a man, a husband, who is completely violating the scriptural admonitions to love his wife and to be a godly, loving head in the home. But if he is abusive, if he is hurting her, if he is all about him, that's not what the Word of God portrays. In fact, I'm going to just share a couple of ideas here. Here I am, out here on a limb. Pray for me. So I believe in the home, before we get to the ladies, I'm going to say, I believe that God has assigned the leadership role for the husband in the home. You may not like that, or you may think it's equal, but God has assigned the leadership role to the husband in the relationship. And it's not because he's smarter, and it's not because he's quicker, and it's not because he has some special innate ability. It's just the design of God for the home. And so the husband is to lead. He is to be a leader. He has been assigned the leadership role. He has been given authority, which is, we're scared of authority, but he has been given authority by God. And here's the catcher. He is also given the responsibility, which means he will give an account someday for his leadership, for his love, for his wife, for the way he has treated that woman. And that to me is a frightening thing, or at least it should be kind of an important thing to think about. One time I heard the story about a couple that were going to a Bible college, and they were dating, and then they got married, and the dean of women knew them, and she they really respected her and liked her. And then after graduation, they moved away, and 15 years went by, and they came back to the campus for some sort of a gathering, a reunion. And they were walking, this couple was walking down the hall 15 years into their marriage, and they met this woman, this dean of women. And when they met in the hallway, here's what she said. She said, "My," to the woman, to the wife, "you look radiant. You look gorgeous. Man." And then he looked at the man and he said, "And you, sir, did that. You did that. You were the kind of leader that made a difference in her life. And you took care of her, and you served her the way Christ wants you to serve her." And that's, to me, every time I hear that story, it is so convicting. When life is done and we look back over the years and the months and the life that we have shared together, how is she doing under my godly, loving leadership? It's a huge question. How is she doing? So that may sound like I'm picking on the men, and I kind of am. But the roles in marriage are different than our culture. We could decide the roles of a husband and a wife based on our culture. We could decide that based on other churches or other Christians, or we could decide it based on abilities. You know, it's like, well, she's smarter. She's educated farther than me. You know, she's a much better leader than I am. But we're talking about the roles that God has defined in the Word of God for the family, for the home. And we may need, men may need to adjust their behavior, their roles, and women may need to adjust theirs. So I would just say this, that husbands are given the role of head by God's design. That's it. Just because he said it, that's the way it is. And I realize I would probably in certain circumstances be ushered out, or tomatoes would be flying or something. No, seriously, serious conflict in our culture over this. But I believe that Christ, when he enters into the relationship in our homes, makes it different. So here's what I'm going to say. I do not believe that submission is just a mutual thing. Always. I think that when the Bible talks about being subject to one another in the fear of Christ, that's the umbrella, be subject to one another. So what does that mean? What does God's design for submission look like in different spheres of authority? For example, in marriage, we read here, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." What that means, submit or be subject to, means to arrange. That's what tasso means. Hupo means to arrange yourself under the leadership of your husband. That's what it means, to arrange. And we're talking about a wife and a husband. We're not talking about women submitting to all men. We're talking about, as soon as you say, "I do," then there is an order to that relationship. And so it says, "Wives, arrange yourself under your husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head." He's the head. I'm not apologizing for that, okay? Of the wife. He is the head of the wife. He's not the head of all women. He is the head of his wife in the home. That's really important. Then there's also submission in the family. I mean, what family would work out well if the children were renegades and they were disrespectful and disobedient to their parents? It doesn't work. That's why in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, submitting to one another. Okay, here's marriage. Here's parents and children, obedience on the part of the children to their parents, in the marketplace or on the job. Can you imagine going to work and telling your boss, I'm going to do it my way today. I'm coming in at 10 o'clock now every morning because I just need my rest. And no, it says, and it, you obviously slaves and masters, but I think you can apply this in the realm of the marketplace. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, as to Christ. So there is submission at work, let me tell you, isn't there? How many of you have ever been a boss and had people that were accountable to you, answerable to you as the boss? Of course. And we have to submit to that authority in the marketplace, and the Bible says so. How about just in society? One of the things I've been listening to, presidential debates and political speeches, and we've been hearing a lot about the rule of law in a culture, and that this country was formed, and that there is what we call the rule of law. And if we don't like the laws in this country, what do? We work to change them. We go through the political process in Congress, in the legislative branch of our culture, to change the laws, but we are required to obey the laws unless, and there's always a caveat. I mean, Daniel went ahead and prayed, didn't he? Three times a day, even though he was being ordered by the government to not do that. So Romans 13, 1 through 7 says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. There it is, in subjection to. So there's be subject to one another in the home, in the relationship between parents and children, in society, at work, younger men toward older men. It says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. I don't like emphasizing that too much because I know where I fit there. But, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. So there is a sense in which we ought to be humble toward one another, but there is a divine order. And even within the Godhead, there was the surrender of Christ, the Son, to the will of his Father, and he was subject to the will of the Father and was made incarnate and came submitted to the Father. So Colossians 3:18 says, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. I don't want to bang this around too much, but I think the Bible is very clear. It's not difficult to understand, right? It's not difficult to understand. It's maybe a little harder to practice. And I believe the underlying core value in that relationship is that the husband looks to her husband with respect, with a sense of respect, that this is the leader in my home. This is the leader. This is the one. Even if he's not smarter than me, even if he's not more gifted than me, even that the divine order in the home is that he is the leader, and I need to look at him and trust that by arranging myself under his leadership, that this is the divine order. This is what our children need to see. This is what works. I think that doing it our own way leads to nothing but chaos. Okay. So I'm going to give you some kind of a fire hose of some information here. We could spend 3 weeks, 6 weeks just talking to men. We could spend the same time talking to the wives. But I'm just going to give you a few bullet points here. Number one, the head of the wife is the husband because of God's decision. That's it. Just because of God's decision. Number two, the head rules and provides. He takes care of his wife and his family. The job of the husband is to rule, which means to stand before, to protect, to make sure that the home, that everything is okay with her. So it doesn't mean to rule. I remember one time, and it just made me so mad. It was a man who was using the word of God to just put his fist or his thumb down on his wife. And it was really like, you do what I say. I'm in charge. Here's the verse. I'm the head, and you need to do what I want you to do. And that will tick off heaven. Because that's not what the Bible teaches. That's far from the Bible. It says that the head rules, he protects, he stands before his wife, he provides, he takes care of his wife and family. And I believe under that kind of leadership, she flourishes. It's what she craves, it's what she wants. I want that kind of a man in my life. So the third thing is the head, the husband, embraces the nobility of his calling as head and does not lord it over or inappropriately exercise authority over his wife. He rules with understanding. Number four, the head devotes himself to his wife above children, above family, above friends, above recreation, or ministry or work. So the head of the home devotes himself to her. What does it say? Husbands, love your wives just as, if you want to know how, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He completely gave himself up for the church. He gave himself up for the church to the point of death, a humiliating death on the cross. So the head devotes himself to his wife above every other relationship. The head nurtures his wife to become blameless, holy, and radiant. So we've kind of harped on that. So I guess we can try and figure out where you are. First of all, where the husbands are. What kind of a leader are you in your house, in your home? Is your wife flourishing? But clearly, Colossians 3, Paul didn't hesitate to meddle in the home. And he said, we need Christ, the peace of Christ in our heart. We need the word of God in our mind. And we need the presence of Christ in our home. And sometimes, I believe this with all my heart, sometimes a godly husband needs to say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to spend the money. This is how we're going to live. And the wife may not agree with that. But submission does not always, if you disagree, somebody has to lead. That's all I'm going to say. I've said this before. I don't want to give specifics here, but my wife was under the leadership of a boss in the marketplace. And it was not the greatest situation for Kathy. And in fact, we prayed many, many mornings before she went to work because it was such an awful situation for her. And she literally, when she went to work, this was her boss, and she was the employee, and so she was to arrange herself under this boss. She was to submit to this boss who treated her awful. That's all I can say. And there were many tears before she left for work in the mornings. But the only thing that helped her was literally in her mind, standing here, looking at the face of her boss and looking over the shoulder of her boss and seeing Christ, her boss, her master, over the shoulder. And so she was able to surrender or submit to this leader who was not very nice to her, but as unto the Lord. And sometimes that's required if we're going to do that. Sometimes men are jerks. Sometimes husbands are not the best husbands in the world. And we're not talking about all the abusive stuff and all the others. There's a place for not submitting to a man or to a man in your home. There is. But in general, even if he's not the greatest man in the world, we need to respect him because that's God's order. And who knows how submission to him will change his desire to be a godly man, to be a better husband, to be a better provider, to be a better leader. I'm just going to say to the men, God calls men to lead well, to be engaged, to be thinking ahead for that woman and for the family and to provide and do everything possible for her sake. And if you don't want to do that, don't get married. Be single. Be your own person, you know, just live life and do what you want. But when you say I do, everything changes, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Wow. It's awful quiet in here. I'm sure we will have lots of room for discussion, conversations. But in general, wives, do you look at your husband and respect him and treat him with respect and listen to him and long for his leadership? Or do you rebel against him? It's a big question. And men, do you look at your wives as someone to cherish and take care of and lead with godly wisdom? It's a big question. And Paul didn't hesitate to address it here. He just did. There it is. All of a sudden in Colossians 3, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. And husbands love your wives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the challenge of your word. Lord, there's no one in this room who does it perfect. There's no one who has it all figured out. And we come from various backgrounds. We have different personalities. We have different families of origin. You know, the examples that our parents set for us, whether good or bad. But God, we thank you for the word of God that tells us the model. It gives us the example of Christ and the clear teaching of the word of God. I just pray that you will allow us the grace to make changes, to change our attitude, to change our behavior, to change how we treat one another in the home. And we just thank you for this time together, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead.